Hey folks, thank you for listening to the LifeScan Learning Lab edition of the Get Balanced podcast with Dr. Donnie and my co-host, Chief Todd LeDuc. Today we are talking with Arlington County, Virginia Fire Chief David Pavlitz, episode 111.
Welcome to the Get Balanced podcast with Dr. Donnie. If you're a firefighter, law enforcement officer, or emergency medical professional who would like to improve your family relationships, your physical and mental health, and want to have success at work and at home, well, this show is for you. Welcome to the Get Balanced program. Let's get started.
All right, Todd, let's go ahead and bring in our guest for this recording, which is a special guest. Out on the East Coast. Take it from there.
Thanks, Donnie. It's, again, always great to be not only continuing our partnership together and in friendship, but also to have, as you said, a special guest on this week. And we're thrilled to have a colleague and the Arlington County, Virginia, Fire Chief, David Pavlitz. David, Welcome to the LifeScan Wellness Learning Lab with my co-host, Dr. Donnie, and we're thrilled to have you today.
Gentlemen, it's a pleasure to meet both of you. I'm looking forward to this session. I'm probably going to come away with learning a lot more than I'm going to bring to the conversation, but glad to help in any way I can. And also, I stress the importance and the focus, and I realize what you've been doing for the emergency services has been critical up to this point, and things we're going to talk about today, it's even more important. And things are just getting more complex and complicated, and the issues that we all collectively face, we're going to need help, we're going to need support, and we're going to need this in lots of different measures across the nation and on departments. So to that end, thank you very much for both of you for your tireless work in this effort.
Thanks, Chief. We appreciate that. And, you know, I think that was when Donnie and I first talked about creating this podcast together was really the driving force. And we've had so many friends of both of ours and colleagues, from Dr. Lori Moore to members of the Metro DC and Virginia region that are colleagues of yours, to our partners on the West Coast. And it's really, that's what it's been about, is just sharing best practices, sharing experiences and insight, and learning from each other. So I want to start and just jump right in with, you know, Donnie reminds us each episode, or reminds me, then I remind, repeat it, that we've got, you know, hundreds of listeners from across the United States of all walks of the fire service, but we also have some international listeners to the podcast. So for our listeners that may not know you, can you talk a little bit about how you began your career in the fire service, what got you involved? And I know you've had the opportunity to serve in several departments. Maybe just share your journey with our listeners.
Took a little bit of a sideway path into emergency services, studying chemical engineering in Delaware, and I was connected with the EPA Superfund effort to clean up toxic waste sites, and just kind of circulated with some of the contractors who were volunteers. And it seemed like kind of a good fit. So between hazardous materials response, fire service, and EMS, it was attractive to me, where you combine science with physical readiness and a team environment to serve a public good. And that really kind of resonated with me. So that was a little bit of a, you know, multi-year path into Delaware, started to be a volunteer. And then in 1994, began with the Anne Arundel County Fire Department, and that was up until 2016, excellent department, growing combination department, then made a little bit of a slight jump to Alexandria, and then been here as the fire chief in Arlington, Virginia for the last 3 years.
Well, that certainly, I'm sure has given you the opportunity to see the fire service from a number of different vantage points. And you know, we're going to talk about that throughout the session today, as we look at leadership tips and lessons. And let me ask you, how long did you say you've been at the helm in Arlington?
3 years, sir. Three years.
And Arlington's a good size, close to 400 or so, 300.
375 for a county of 26 square miles, positioned right to the west across the Potomac River from the District of Columbia and in the about the central area of the National Capital Region. So the National Capital Region consists of District of Columbia, Northern Virginia, and Central Maryland. We've been very tightly integrated. It was, I'm going to say, some very forward-thinking public safety and community designers decades ago decided to consolidate and cooperate in terms of governance, transportation, public safety, and built out the Metropolitan Washington Council of Governments. And everything from whatever can make a community thrive and grow, and certainly focusing on safety and security in terms of public safety, that has been a focus, a continual focus with the Council of Governments. And we're all participating agencies, and the grounds that has covered and the information that's shared and the coordination has just been amazing. It's kind of served as a model, and that was also a very strong attractor. It was a good way to approach public safety, and it's paid multiple dividends because we're collectively so much stronger than we are as each individuals or as an individual department. So it's been very promising, and still lots of ground to cover and lots more potential to realize.
Yeah, we had, I think I shared with you before we started tape, and we had Deputy Chief Sean Downs on from DC Fire, and he chairs, as you know, the Health and Wellness, Health and Safety Committee for the DC Council of Government. And it was just really, we had that same dialogue about really, to be honest, pretty refreshing. You know, you see sometimes departments that are parochial and don't necessarily collaborate regionally. And, you know, just listening to the approach that the Northern Virginia Metro DC region has taken to sharing best practices and collaborating is really, you know, as you described, is a best practice. And so that is just really, when we talk about trends in the fire service, hopefully that's one that other entities around the country and regions look to emulate. I wanted to ask you from you know, kind of the helm of a metropolitan area and then a metropolitan department, what do you see as some of the big challenges facing the fire service today as we, you know, in 2022, we just come through. I don't know if we can say we're out of the pandemic completely or we're somewhere in a spot along a continuum.
I'm out of it. I'm finished.
I think we all feel that way for sure. We've all we all are ready past that spot to be done, no doubt. You know, we've got the global concerns going on now, and you know, with concerns of war and what's happening overseas. But from the fire service standpoint, and as a metro chief sitting in a metro region, what do you see as some of the issues that you're dealing with currently and that are in the back of your mind that you know we need to be thinking about in fire service?
Yeah, from a broad view, it's kind of centered around complexity and time. You know, 20, 30 years ago, many decades, we had kind of a singular focus or something would emerge, and we had kind of either in terms of months or years to kind of evolve and get to a place where we can, you know, assess, mitigate, train up, and resource up. Over the last 10, 5, 2 years, things just seem to be coming at such more of a rapid clip. They're here, they're arriving, and they're becoming multiple layered. So we're having an incident inside of an incident inside of a major situation. It just seems to be compounding. And the pandemic's a perfect example. So during a pandemic, throughout the nation, we are still trying to protect ourselves, protect each other, protect homes, and also provide the key public safety service delivery to our communities. And then here comes civil unrest, or here comes either international or domestic targeting of responders where we wearing a uniform then become a focus, then we become a point of disruption, and then throw in cyber and then global unrest. It just seems to be coming at such a fast pace where we are just keeping pace with it. And it's going to, I don't see that stopping. As a matter of fact, I think things are just going to keep coming and coming and coming. The world is getting more connected and really smaller, and information flows at an incredible pace, So that means it's a good and bad. We can capitalize on that. We can certainly use that to help and assist with the responses, but that also some of the bad elements, or in terms of biology, the pandemic, things are going to becoming more, not chaotic, but it's just going to be coming at more and more at a faster arrival. So what we're trying to figure out right here today to stay pace with, we need to start looking at 30, 60, 90, 1 year out and get ready for what's coming next. Because it does take a little bit to get things in position, get the right people skilled up, trained up, and get the resources in so we can effectively manage and effectively respond. All of that is just, you know, the key work that you've been doing adds an unbelievable amount of stress, strain, and it's really kind of, you know, stretching our capacity on so many fronts.
Yeah, no, that's a great, you know, you look at it from the 30,000 foot, level, and we talk about situational awareness all the time, you know, when we're boots on the ground, and the importance of protecting our troops, being situationally aware. But certainly from leadership perspective, having that situational awareness of what's on the radar screen, what we can see, likely to see, and what we can't see, but certainly should be thinking of. So that pre-planning is key. So a lot of great information for departments, particularly, you know, departments out there that may not have all the resources of a metropolitan region, or, you know, just they're still impacted by many of the same threats and challenges.
Hey, Todd, speaking of that situational awareness, and Chief, is when you think about the holistic approach to leadership of your firefighter and staff, is that, and going through the pandemic and all of that, was there a time when you guys sort of paused and said, and, you know, to reflect on and think about how were all of the families at home doing with this? And, because I know, you know, when the pandemic first hit, you guys going home was scary.
Absolutely was. And I can remember in the, say, December 2019 into the 2020 timeframe, when this was just emerging, there was so much uncertainty trying to figure out between experts, you know, actually what's happening with our community, where is this going and what do we need to be? That uncertainty, that variance in, you know, everything was disrupted. We were just making sure we were taking care of each other shoulder by shoulder in the fire stations on the units. But then adding that, what happens at home has a huge impact here in the workplace, whether we want to make sure through infectious control procedures and protocols, we don't take it home, and also vice versa. We're not bringing it in from home. We just want to minimize spread. So trying to figure out what that meant, what those practices were, was very unsettling. And it took a lot of time to get our bearings, and we did a lot of experimentation. We tried to see what worked, and we were able to settle in over a period of several months through a bunch of ups and downs, spikes and valleys in terms of community spread. There was a request coming from all of our members, all of our workforce, and all of our recognition is we need to spread as much information to as many people as possible, and let's incorporate home, family, and friends. And we were able to bring everyone together using these, you know, thank goodness we had these platforms. Thank goodness we had, you know, web conferencing and video conferencing. So connecting families at night when they're home from work, I was very surprised. We just had a family and friends night. You know, this is a pandemic focus. We'll tell you, we'll discuss what we're doing and how we're doing it. And we want to answer questions. And we brought a panel in ranging from our safety officers to our medical director. Let's just kind of keep talking. And we did several of those, and they were very well attended. And, you know, the questions, there was a lot of emotion attached to it, but that's something we have to recognize and something we have to appreciate, and trying to just provide as much information as we could and get back to their questions. So we did a series of those, but that their support, and also extending a lot of the mental behavioral services, health services that we have for each other into the families, that helped a lot also. So, you know, you're right now extremely stressed, trying to perform your top performance at work, but always in the back of your mind, you know, we got childcare issues, education, school, have no idea what's next, and jobs that were impacted. It was just the amount of stress and strain on so many on the domestic front. We had an idea, but until we heard it first person, I don't think we really appreciated that.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Yeah. Certainly, you know, obviously continually being mindful, you know, we've lost a number of first responders from COVID-19, but the, you know, we talk about long hauling effects, but likely a long hauling behavioral effect as well. I mean, this was certainly not necessarily an easy ramp up and response for all of public safety. And the impacts were not just on the job, as you point out. So hats off to you all in the department for taking that as a focus and making that as a priority for your members. And that's probably a pretty good segue to what our next topic I wanted to chat with you about is, you know, I had the opportunity to spend a little bit of time up in your shop not too long ago, meet some of your personnel, and you all were nice enough to accommodate Chief Donnelly from DC Fire and his staff as they went through and the LifeScan wellness physicals. And I know your department's been using LifeScan for your annual physicals for some time. And you know, wanted to see if you would just share with our audience what your experience has been and why you chose to partner with LifeScan and you know, that approach has even gained some traction in the region. I know Alexandria is also one of our partners. I think I have on my calendar to come up and meet with the folks at not sure the exact name for it, but at Metropolitan Airport Authority. They're looking as well at using LifeScan. So I wonder if you can just share your insight and experience, Chief. I know you've placed a high value on the health and wellness and safety of your employees.
It was probably about three benefits, and I'm going to cover them in the least amount of importance to the most. So in terms of just from an administration and a management and a fiscal perspective, we found that it was overall cheaper to bring in LifeScan as a service instead of trying to host or contract locally without degrading quality. We actually picked up additional diagnostics that turned out to be very, very beneficial. So, you know, in terms of just the bottom line, that appeared to be a win. Also coordinating and operationally, we found we were able to kind of control where, how, and throttle our personnel through and not compromise emergency services. That was another benefit. So it was just easy to manage through. And, you know, every successive year we learn something else and we implement it, and it gets easier and easier and easier. Now, the most important thing, I live in the quantitative realm, numbers, analysis, predictions, but the individual testimonials, I didn't know I had this. Now I do. Now I can make a change. Now I'm informed. That happens multiple times every year during our annual cycle. And that's the expression of gratitude versus concern versus now at least there's a treatment path or knowledge of it. And you know, I can do whatever I can for myself personally and family and also professionally, that's worth its weight in gold. And that's, we've had many, many instances of just learning something new and then having a path to either recover or work with the condition, the whatever it happens to be. That's been huge.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. And, you know, Donnie and I have had several guests on. I guess we just had Chief Smith on from Charlottesville, mm-hmm. Who brought one of his firefighters, Brandon, with him to share his personal story. That, you know, an asymptomatic presentation, likely a standard 1582 physical, would have missed, but on the imaging that we do at LifeScan, identified, I believe it was a bladder mass. It turned out to be cancerous. You know, I know Albemarle County's had very similar experience. And so your insight and embracing kind of an enhanced early detection for your membership certainly shows the focus on the importance of taking care of our people. You know, you mentioned the behavioral health is one component. And you know, LifeScan does some behavioral health early detection screenings as well as part of the physical. But some of those things in our body that just are lying dormant from occupational exposure and ultimately can really do serious harm and, you know, be that, you know, nail in the coffin for one of our members. And obviously, when we've got the tools out there, you know, we want to make sure that we're providing the highest level of early detection for our troops. So again, hats off to you for your leadership. And I know you've been a strong, staunch advocate in the region as well, allowing, you know, not only DC Fire, I think some folks from Loudoun County have come over to Arlington, and your staff has really just been open the door and the welcome mat. It's obvious that you all collaborate regionally very well. I wanted to, I guess, segue with, and be mindful of the time. You know, I know we these interviews, we could talk all day with experiences and insights, and we always look to have our guests back on for a second episode where we can continue the dialogue. But I kind of wanted to, Chief, given the different perspectives that you've had throughout your career and both in different capacities in the fire service, different departments, and obviously as you've progressed through the ranks, you've experienced, no doubt, quite a bit of experiential learning, I'm sure. So I want to kind of wrap up, if we can, with asking you kind of an insightful question for our listeners out there that may be on their own journey of professional development and leadership and career advancement. And from your perspective, if you had to share from your insights one of what you would consider to be the most powerful leadership lessons that you could impart on those coming behind, what would that be and what would that look like?
That's a really good question. The answer has kind of evolved over the years, but I feel very comfortable with what I can offer now. And I'll qualify it in the context of I'm a technophile. I love technology. There's so many unbelievable things that are just within our grasp. We're just now starting to assemble and put them together, and they become incredible instruments. And through our careers, we also, you know, we have a little bit of competitive nature. We want to make sure our fire stations are the best they can be, and we strive for some of the best fleet vehicle apparatus equipment that can we possibly acquire. That's almost the easy part of our trade, of our job. It's available. But the aspect that's probably going to give us the most mileage, most benefit, the most impact is focusing on our human capacity. And that's in terms of self and others, and certainly within the department. Having that ability to learn, having that inquisitiveness, and having that option or developing that skill, it's not necessarily innate, but developing that skill to be adaptable, flow with the change, and be able to work through any situation, condition, whatever presents. Investment in individuals in terms of finding the right balance, and that balance could be in between the terms of education and experience, technical skills versus insights. There's just having that ability to elevate all aspects of a person in terms of physical, mental, and behavioral. That's a lifelong pursuit, but that's going to be the way we can extend our careers. That's going to be a way to make the 30-year career old. Let's go to 35. Let's make 40 the new 35. Let's kind of continuing moving that that range out there. And that helps on so many fronts. Again, at the most minimal basic level, that's an economic, administrative, and operational benefit. It takes so much investment to keep retraining, rehiring, reselecting, and trying to build us in our departments in terms of career and volunteer staffing. And that's a finite resource. Those that want to do this job and can do this job, we're competing on so many fronts. So extending our careers, getting that much, much longer reach, and the ability to do it and the ability to do it safely, that's probably going to be, I'm going to say, the greatest focus. So trying to make sure we stay current, trying to make sure we continually learn, experiment, fail, but then what's next? How do I make it better? And then how do I can keep approaching that? That takes so much time, that takes so much effort, but the payoffs, the dividends, it's incalculable. That doesn't show up on the spreadsheet. That just goes to, you know, department culture, capability. That just kind of, that's the thing that binds. So take away all the multi-million dollars of things we invest in. It still comes down to, if we get the best people with the right basic tool set on the, you know, a minimalistic vehicle, or that them providing that service is what's going to keep us ahead of the, all the stuff that's coming down the pike. And that, you know, continually changes minute by minute, day by day, month by month.
Wow. For those out there listening, that was a mini bundled PhD in leadership. And you know, you said a couple great takeaways. You know, it's a journey, right? But also, you know, it's hard work. It's continually striving for improvement, even with setbacks. You know, failures come with learning opportunities. But you also said something that really resonated, which, you know, it's all about people. You know, is investing in that human capital is so important, because without people and healthy people, right, we don't have much in terms of organization and leadership. Yeah, I know Donnie's looking to jump in on this conversation.
Yes, yeah, I know when you get to the people, the human aspect. I know you guys get excited about apparatus and all that.
Absolutely.
Sure. Now, so I heard about, you know, the ability to learn, adaptable, work through, you know, situations, invest in people, and all of that, Chief. From a leadership perspective, you know, basically tagging on to Todd's question, what have you learned about the importance of how well we take care of ourselves, beginning as a young firefighter, our physical health, mental, social, spiritual, you know, all aspects of health, full 360. How does that contribute to the effectiveness in one's career and in one's success and happiness with family? What would your thoughts be on that?
I think it allows us to uncouple some of the drag, and could be physical, could be psychic, you know, what, based on our history, our experiences, things that aggravate us, things that may have grieved us, or things that may have impacted us physically. If we do have damaged structure, if we do have something, you know, that would be trying to, you know, pulling down, and, you know, we're 100% at our best, but it's something that's dragging us down to the 90 and 80%, having the ability to shed some of that weight, shed some of those things that we just keep holding on to, and they become a self-limiting cycle. So, you know, to reach that potential, you have to kind of see what's possible. And that comes with learning, expanding, and having the ability to, you know, possibly change your view. So whether that's, I'll speak on a personal note, I've been on a mental and physical fitness plateau, very comfortable doing my thing, routine, creature of habit for many, many years. So walking into the stations and getting a little more exposure and just a little bit willingness to learn, I saw them doing yoga. I saw them eating better. I saw them talking to their therapists. That was kind of a little bit of a shift, moving away from, I got to be bigger, stronger, do this job because we want to be, you know, ourself. I wanted to be that goon squad that can take care of anything that we were facing. So now I'm doing yoga. I'm looking up recipes on how to cook tofu. I didn't know what tofu was. I'm doing the things that I was making fun of 20 or 30 years ago, probably out of my own ignorance. So, you know, expanding my internal visions and talking and learning from them, because that, you know, the younger generation who is bringing some of these things up, which I'm the old model, I'm the old version, they're teaching me and it's benefiting me. And that, I think, is a little bit contagious. So mixing it up, bringing old, new, different perspectives, you know, and having the courage to give it a try. I think that's going to contribute to personal growth, which is going to lead into professional enhancements And also it just backflows into the family. So yeah, you could say it flows into family, but also family, all of this applies to family, is what gives us a foundation to do a lot of what we're doing. So it's all interrelated. It's all connected. Just trying to make sure the right parts of us flow in the right measure and nothing gets cut off. Nothing gets limited. That's a lifelong pursuit. I'm still learning it, still figuring it out myself.
That's excellent. Thank you very much.
Yeah, good stuff. I'm loving the yoga, the healthy eating. You can see the cultural shift from when you and I both started on the job.
Yes,
and,
sir.
And it's great to see. I know we just partnered at LifeScan. I'm sure Food on the Stove and the work that they're doing with healthy eating up in your region. And it's that total piece of 360 on our own health and wellness and family. So Chief, I know we're at the conclusion of today's show, and I want to thank you for not only your time, but your valuable insights and sharing your wealth of experience that you've had in your career. And I know from our listeners, we're over a year now with the podcast, hard to believe, but those shared experiences are invaluable in helping shape the future of the fire service. So thank you for your service and your leadership, and thanks for taking the time to spend a little bit of, share a little bit of that with Donnie and myself today and our audience.
I appreciate the opportunity, and also I'm grateful you have been showing us better ways. You have been showing us how to just improve on so many fronts. Some of it is more structured, but some of it's more, I'm going to say, interpersonal. All of that, you're bringing the conversation into many arenas and certainly into the national spotlight. That's just helping us all and elevating us all. So I'm grateful. Thank you very much for your missions, for your focus. Thank you.
Thanks, Chief. And thanks to our audience. We look forward to having the Chief back on and continuing this dialogue version 2.0. So Chief, stay safe. Keep up the great work.
Thank you. You too.
And folks in the audience out there, Todd is closing this on the video version of this episode with a warrior yoga pose. Just letting you know. Let's just be thankful, Chief, that he's not doing the downward dog facing yoga pose, right?
It's so. A work in progress. Try to lead by example.
Hey, if you're a firefighter, law enforcement officer, or EMS professional who enjoys this podcast and would like some help with your work-life balance, you need to check out my Get Balanced program. Not sure if you are balanced or not? Join me over at DonnieHutchinson.com and take the quiz. Together, we are going to get you balanced.